L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. With me are my guys, Kyle Yates and Mike Tagliere. You can find us on Twitter at DanHarris80, at KyleYNFL, and at Mike Tagliere NFL. Boys, how are you today?
I mean, I think I'm better than Dan. Dan walked in feisty. We were talking before the show, and Dan feels like he's on edge. I don't know if it's like it's coming into what we're going to be doing today. He just wanted to get fired up for it or whatever. But Yates, did you pick up what he was? Did you smell what he was stepping?
I hate that expression. That's so gross.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. We got feisty Dan. But I wanted to say this, guys. I saw something today that I haven't seen, like that I just completely forgot existed. And I don't know if like 2020 and just everything else going on, I completely forgot that school buses were a thing. I saw a school bus outside my window today. I was like, oh, I forgot about those.
Yeah, it's weird. I saw a school bus, like our like regular driver doing like a test run, I think. And I was like, oh, I remember those. Those were nice. But yeah, school buses, just I feel like there are going to be all these weird things that we used to take for granted that we haven't seen in forever. And it's going to be like, oh, yeah, remember when those were a thing? It's weird times, guys. Weird times. But you know what's not going to be weird? When football starts back up, which is going to be so soon, and we are so excited about it. And so today we're going to be talking about some final round flyers that we're looking at in our drafts. And then we're going to have a little three-person best ball draft on FanDuel. Some fun here as we head into the final couple of weeks. But before we get into it, how many mock drafts have you guys completed with our draft simulator? Because he could have completed 8 in the time it took me to say that sentence. Fine, that is overstating it, but you can complete an entire mock draft in like 5 minutes. That's not an exaggeration. Go to fantasypros.com/draftwizard, try it out, you're going to see I'm not lying. You don't have to wait for your draft rooms to fill up. Your opponents are going to be smart, artificial drafters using rankings from experts across the industry. Test out every strategy. See what happens when you go 0RB or QRT or LMG. Those last two are not actual draft strategies, but whatever. It is completely free, too. You can draft against us, Dan, Tags, and Yates, and see what it would be like to be in an actual draft with us. Just click on the Fantasy Pros Experts in the little draft against section, and you'll even be able to get a different grade on your mock from each one of us. So just come check out our draft simulator and our mock draft lobby over at fantasypros.com/draftwizard. Again, that's fantasypros.com/draftwizard. Now, as I said, it's totally free to use, but there are some added cool features for our MVP and Hall of Fame subscribers, including access to realistic auction and dynasty mock drafts. We've got a special offer going on right now for 6 months free for our Hall of Fame package. That is our highest subscription tier and a $65 value. Just go check out fantasypros.com/offers for more details. All right, boys, let's jump into it. Let's talk about some late round flyers, maybe final round flyers. Let's start with Yates. Let's start with you. Who's a guy who you are targeting in your, maybe with your last pick or one of your last picks?
Yeah, so if we're looking in the last round of your drafts, you're looking at these guys who potentially could hit immediately, right? You're looking at these players that the last spot of your bench should be these ones that if they don't hit immediately, you're cutting them for waiver wire pickups week one, right? Because there are going to be these players that just emerge out of nowhere. We all know this. If you played fantasy football for any length of time, you know that week one waiver wire is just insane, right? It's just insanity. So you're looking for these players that are going to be on the field. Taking a player in the last round of your draft that might not start for the first 3 weeks of the season, probably not the best move. Whereas you would be better off served taking this guy who has high upside and could hit immediately. With that in mind, I'm taking Bryan Edwards in the last round of my drafts. We're looking at these guys going outside the top 180 in ADP right now, and Bryan Edwards has fallen outside the top 200. So you're looking at Bryan Edwards. This is a starting, he's going to be starting, I believe, in this offense in Las Vegas. I probably should mention where the heck he plays. Las Vegas Raiders wide receiver. You're looking at this receiving core, and you're saying that Tyrell Williams is now banged up. But then you have Henry Ruggs and then Hunter Renfrow potentially being involved if Ruggs stays on the outside. Edwards profiles as a X receiver. He's a big-bodied receiver, excellent hands, concentration, contested catchability. Scouting him at South Carolina, I absolutely fell in love with his talent. So looking at him, and he's getting rave reviews out of camp, Derek Carr comparing him to Devontae Adams or something like that. Like, no, let's pump the brakes a little bit here. You guy hasn't even played a snap in the NFL. But you're looking for opportunity with your last round pick. And so Bryan Edwards absolutely fills that. And he's at week one against Carolina. That's going to be a high scoring affair. So Edwards could absolutely fall into the end zone in week one and be a guy that you could then either keep or trade.
Yates, let me ask you something. If you own Edwards, if you roster him and he doesn't go off after week one, maybe even week two, are you just cutting bait right there and moving on? How long do you give a guy like that when you draft him in the final round?
Yeah, it's a good question. So it all depends on what his like involvement in the offense is, right? If this is that he was on the field for, you know, the majority of the snaps, but just didn't get targeted, then I'm willing to hold on to him just a little bit longer, you know, and it all depends, right? It all depends on who's on the waiver wire and who I would be targeting. But looking at if he is just not on the field, if they're is a very, very limited path for him to get onto the field, then I will easily cut bait. But looking at his opportunity, especially with no preseason, this kind of is, I got to see what he looks like on the field. I got to see what his involvement is, because I think he will be involved in this offense. It just depends on what level of involvement and if he's going to be useful for fantasy football purposes.
And let's not even forget, you didn't even mention Tyrell Williams dealing with the labrum tear
in his
shoulder.
I did mention that.
He did, but Dan missed it.
Darn, you know, this is why I'm feisty. It's not my A game today, boys. I've got like three podcasts scheduled as soon as this is done, all right? So I'm just going to be quiet here. Did you guys know that Tyrell Williams is dealing with a labrum tear?
I heard that a couple times. I don't remember where.
Really smart guy mentioned that, yeah.
I'm breaking news, trust me. I'm just excited because I may, in a moment, talk about another Raiders receiver who I like to target at the end. But first, I will throw it to Tags. Tags, late round, last round flyer, what do you got?
I'm going to go with Alan Lazard here. Alan Lazard was someone that obviously worked his way into the Green Bay offense last year. There was a lot of guys that were disappointing, including Marquez Valdez-Scantling. And there's just guys that Aaron Rodgers does not like throwing to. And in the, they're just not on the same page. They're not where they're supposed to be. And Valdez-Scantling has kind of fallen into that tier. Equanimeous St. Brown obviously missed a majority of last season, hasn't had time to build that chemistry. Meanwhile, Alan Lazard was someone who literally spent Thanksgiving with Aaron Rodgers and his family. So therefore, these two have a relationship, and all we're hearing from Matt LaFleur is that he's someone that players can learn from in terms of his work ethic and what he's doing on the field. I don't think there's any question that he's going to start in two wide receiver sets, which is something that didn't really happen until the final few weeks of last season. And then we saw him get targeted 9 times in week 16, 8 times in week 17. Aaron Rodgers has supported multiple top 30 wide receivers in 10 different seasons. It's very possible that Alan Lazard is someone that people thought Marquez Valdez-Scantling was going to be last year. Because if you guys were to, you know, flashback a year ago from today, you'd see that Marquez Valdez-Scantling was being drafted as a top 40 fantasy wide receiver. Now you see Aaron Rodgers' number 2 wide receiver falling all the way to the last round. It makes absolutely zero sense. You're going to find out from week one basically what you have. And, you know, they play against Minnesota. That's actually, I don't know if people realize it, but that's actually a fantastic matchup for wide receivers now. So Alan Lazard is someone that I am willing to take with one of my last picks. And he's, I mean, I don't even think I'm going to wait until my last pick to take him, but that's according to ADP, you're able to get him there.
Yeah, he was a guy we discussed last week, Tags, as somebody who, you know, you even didn't even want to. You reluctantly called me out on being too high on him because I know you liked him as well. But yeah, he is definitely a guy who I'm trying to roster in pretty much every league because, again, I feel like we're in this weird scenario where, man, you look at that offense for the Packers and you look at what Matt LaFleur is doing and you don't, that's not an offense. You're like, yeah, give me a piece of that passing game right now. You don't really want that.
Right.
But there is this scenario where Aaron Rodgers is giving the metaphorical middle finger to everyone this entire thing. And I think to your point, Tags, it's a good opening schedule for the passing game at least. So I think you're going to know early, like you said, whether or not you're going to want a piece of that passing game. It's beyond Davante Adams, obviously. And Lazard is the guy. Yates, do you agree with that? Is this guy you're targeting to roster in the last round of your leagues?
I mean, it depends, right? Because the past couple seasons, we've talked about the potential wide receiver two in, you know, an Aaron Rodgers-led offense. And that was Equanimeous St. Brown a couple years ago. And then, like Tags mentioned, MVS, Marquez Valdes-Scantling last year. And they just didn't work, right? So I think if this is the caveat, if Alan Lazard was going in the 10th round, or ninth round, right? If he was going in the range that MVS was last year, then I would be very hesitant to invest. However, you're looking at, again, he's in this conversation for a reason, a late round flyer. This is a guy that I'm willing to take the shot on because I want pieces in Aaron Rodgers' led offense. And if something happens to Davante Adams, Alan Lazard, 11 targets per game, easy. And if you can get that in your last round, absolutely.
I think that's also something that we discuss, which are guys who might have independent value, who you obviously want to add on, but they also combine that by offering this elite hand. You know, you don't think about handcuffing wide receivers, but they offer this elite upside should the guy in front of them get injured. And I think Lazard fits that bill. For me, look, Yates, you talk about Edwards. The guy on the Raiders that I really kind of have been looking at late in my drafts is Hunter Renfrow. Now, he's at 176, so right on that borderline between where we're talking about and 180. But again, you know, we mentioned Tyrell Williams. You did. My bad about that. you look at what he did last year. Whatever, Tags, give me a break. you look at really what he did last year, and I get that we're all excited about Edwards and we're all excited about Ruggs, of course, the three of us all are. But he was second, Renfrow was second among rookie wide receivers in yards per route. I'm going to say route.
Thank
route
you.
Run. I've actually made a point of it. I'm not kidding. Every
you're
time
the man.
It's now gotten to the point where you break a habit where every time you're about to say it, you change it in your mind. Route yards per route run behind only, of course, AJ Brown, who we know had basically a historic season. 114.3 passer rating when he was targeted. He led the Raiders in red zone receptions. He led the Raiders in targets inside the 10-yard line. He's one of the best at getting separation. He was, I think, second among wide receivers, or at least one of the league leaders in separation at time of target. Again, if you're going to have Tyrell Williams suffering from the labrum tear, and if you've got rookies all around, and remember, this is a year where rookie wide receivers in particular, I'm not that, you know, for the Raiders, not as much, especially a guy like Ruggs who's going to take the short targets. So I don't think you need to really develop that much chemistry in game. But again, no preseason games right now. You're mostly dealing with rookies. Renfrow is the Raiders receiver who I think has the biggest chance, and he looks good in camp. I mean, I've sort of monitored reports on him because I've been looking at him. He looks good right now in camp. He's a guy who I'm willing to take a shot on in the last round because, again, a guy who I think you'll know pretty early whether or not you have something there.
Dan, I love you. I really do.
I love you.
But
I love you, man.
I will own exactly zero Hunter Renfrow shares.
No way. I take it back. Do not love you.
Well,
not even
well you can't take it back. It's too late because you said it and I actually heard it, unlike Tyrell
and
Williams.
It's recorded. I can't do anything about it.
It's true. But no, the reason I'm not going to do that is because Hunter Renfrow, like, it's almost like I feel like it's a Cole Beasley scenario all over again, where he had a couple big games in Dallas and this and that. And people always thought that there could be more there with him. They've just added too many options to this offense. And then when you look at where his targets take place, is he's a slot only wide receiver. He is not someone that you want lining up on the perimeter. And I understand the whole yards per route run thing, but it's a very, very small sample size when you figure 20% of Hunter Renfrow's yards in 2019 were on two catches. 20% of them. It's crazy. So I don't want to put too much into that. I do think yards per route run is typically a good stat to look at for wide receivers.
Yeah, it's sticky, generally speaking. It's a sticky stat.
It typically is, but it's such a small sample size with Renfrow because he wasn't on the field all the time. I know he had a bigger role as the year went on, but this team clearly went out and added Ruggs, and they've talked about playing him in the slot at the start of the year. And I think that makes a lot of sense considering his skill set and how they want to get the ball in his hands. Lynn Bowden, we've talked about him. He's a hybrid running back wide receiver. They've talked about, we want to get Josh Jacobs 60 receptions or whatever they want to do. Darren Waller is not someone that you want to eliminate from your offense because he's a mismatch for linebackers and safeties. So you just start going through the offense and you're like, this isn't a great offense. You know, if we're talking about the Saints, it'd be more like, okay, you know, we could find multiple options working here. I just don't see that with Derek Carr and the Raiders, especially, you know, knowing the coaching staff that they play under.
No, I do get that. And Yates, I'll turn it over to you in 1 second and then we'll move on. Cause I don't, you know, Hunter Renfrow is not going to be like a crazy fantasy, you know, crazy fantasy argument, but over his last 8 games, he was on pace for 74 catches, over 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns. Like there is, I get, you know, you pointed out tags. You made a lot of great points, but there are certain things. And again, especially basically it's him, Waller and rookies. And there is something with rookie running backs I'm not quite as worried about this year, but rookie wide receivers is something where I'm a little hesitant with. So I do think that Renfrow could take a bigger step. Go ahead, Yates. Offer your 2 cents and then we'll move on.
Yeah, just super quick. After we got the news that they were going to be moving Henry Ruggs into the slot more, and this came out a couple weeks ago, I buried Hunter Renfrow because I was like, you do not put Ruggs and Renfrow in competition at the same position and say, no, we're going to stick with Hunter Renfrow, right? Like Ruggs is just a 10 times more of an athlete than Renfrow is. So, but now with the news of Tyrell Williams potentially going to be battling through this injury, like he's going to try to play. And I get it from his perspective because he's about to lose his starting job. So I think in that instance, though, if Williams isn't able to fight through it, then Ruggs would be moved to this Z receiver, this outside receiver who will then stretch the field. And then you'll have Renfrow as the slot and then Edwards as the X receiver. So that could be the argument that Renfrow can get back into relevancy. But I just don't see a ceiling there.
Yeah, I think all of that is fair. And again, one of these guys you draft late, you're going to find out early whether or not there's going to be any value there. Okay,
Hey guys, I'm hijacking this conversation because I have some breaking news for Yates, and I'm sorry in advance. I'm just bringing all sorts of bad news today. David Montgomery had to be carted off the Bears practice field today, and they do not believe the injury is to his knee, is what the Bears are saying. But some people are saying maybe an Achilles.
Yeah. Oh. David Montgomery left today's Bears practice on a cart. We'll know more when we talk to Matt Nagy here in a bit. JJ Stankovitz on Twitter.
Not great.
Dang it.
Oh, boy. Yates, are you okay to continue? All right. Do we have to call this off? I would love to scrap this entire podcast.
So. They're about to sign Devontae Freeman. They're about to sign
Devontae Freeman. Or Isaiah Crowell, I'm telling you, man. By the way, I just want to announce on the podcast, I'm going to say it before it happens. If the Bears sign Isaiah Crowell, I think I'm going to give up my fandom for a year.
First of all, you don't control that, and you know that. There's no way that you could just be like, I'm out. If there were, my life would be very different.
Well, you're a Jets fan. You know all too much about
Correct.
This.
And Mets and Knicks, don't forget. Also, I'm sure Adam Gase right now is looking at Isaiah Crowell and being like, man, this is a guy who we can really add to this offense. Really actually, bring a different dimension.
Real quick, I'm going to bring up a hypothetical. And I know, I'm hijacking this entire conversation.
That's okay.
But the Bears believe they're a team built to win now, right? That's why they traded for Jimmy Graham. They traded for Nick Foles, okay? Leonard Fournette for a 5th-round pick if Montgomery's injury is actually legitimate.
So, by the way, Tex, this is, I think it was with you. I think we talked about it on the live stream. Fournette, or maybe it was with you, Yates. Fournette is a guy who, again, we talk about the possibility of him being traded, and it was always like, well, what is that going to do? You know, who knows? He'll find himself. This could be the type of situation, which is one of the reasons why I liked drafting Fournette, is that this is the type of situation where Fournette gets traded, where somebody loses their starting running back. And again, we don't know what happened to Montgomery necessarily, but if it does, and he walks into a situation where it's like, great, here's a bell cow role that you can earn, and especially around the end zone. I don't know. Yeah, they may do that. Whether they're actually ready to win now, they are trying to win now. So it is something where I could see that. I mean, this is all speculation, by the way. Now I'm sure we'll have more on tomorrow's show. But for now, yeah, I don't know. I think they'd offer that. So
dead inside.
All right. Well, with that, obviously you're targeting Devonta Freeman with your last pick, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he slides right in. No, I'm going to talk about Devin Duvernay. I've talked about him previously on the podcast, but a rookie wide receiver, again, it comes with expectation management, right? He's being drafted outside the top 220 in ADP for a reason. So this is more in the conversation of if you're in like a deeper league, if you're in a league this year that added extra bench spots and you're going to be drafting 18 rounds versus 16, right? Or 15 or whatever. Devin Duvernay is a guy to keep your eye on because I think he is a fantastic slot receiver. He gets yards after the catch, which is what you want in Baltimore. He's a out of Texas rookie wide receiver and now with the Baltimore Ravens. He is a supercharged the position from Willie Snead, right? Willie Snead has just been a guy over his career. Devin Duvernay has a chance to be special in the NFL. I loved his tape. And so putting him in this offense where you get Lamar Jackson out on the run, or, you know, just get the ball into Devin Duvernay's hands and let him create. He is a speed demon, 4.4 40-yard dash at the combine. So this is a guy just to keep an eye on, right? Like, if, and especially if you're in later rounds, then you can take the guy, you can take him with your last round pick. If you're in just a normal 15 round, you know, even 14 round, whatever, I wouldn't recommend drafting him necessarily because there are going to be other guys that are going to provide more immediate value. But Devin Duvernay is a guy to keep an eye on your waiver wire.
Tags?
I mean, this is a back-to-back one where I'm going to say, no, I'm not going to own any Devin Duvernay because I've already started research for week one, and I started going through this Ravens depth chart and trying to figure out if there's any value outside of Marquise Brown. And even him, I think it's going to be difficult for him to be consistent in fantasy football. Did you guys know, like, if you guys were to take a guess right now, how many targets per game do you think Ravens wide receivers averaged last year?
Yeah, you probably have that.
Just a stab at it. Just a stab at it right away.
Like 12.
10.8.
Yeah.
10.8 targets per game. So even if we say, all right, we're going to project the Ravens to throw the ball, you know, 50 more times this year, that's basically three more times per game. And if you figure a 50% target share to the wide receiver position, which is actually higher than the Ravens did last year, it's like 1.5 more targets per game. So we're talking about 12 targets per game. And if he's not coming on the field until three wide receiver sets, because Miles Boykin is going to start on the perimeter with Marquise Brown or however they're going to do it, that's why I can't see Devin Duvernay making any sort of impact this year. I'm not saying he can't be a player in the league. I do believe that. It's just more about the opportunity is so limited in this offense when you have guys like Marquise Brown and Mark Andrews at the top of the depth chart.
Yeah. Tags had a stat for that. You know he does. All right. Before we get to our next player, guys, let me tell you a little secret. All right. When you look better, you feel better. That infects everything you do, even if you don't know it. If you feel confident, better looking, stronger, that comes across in every area of life. So throw in a workout every now and then, shower every once in a while, and make sure you trim and keep yourself looking good below the belt. You don't think it makes a difference just because how you look down there is not public knowledge? You are wrong. It does, big time. Now, you may think to yourself, Dan, I don't know anything about below the belt grooming. Not to worry, random dude. Manscaped has your back. Their Lawnmower 2.0 was an amazing product. Their new Lawnmower 3.0 is like the Lamborghini of below-the-belt trimmers. If you're cleaning up down there, you do not want nicks and tugs. That goes without saying. We have all done it. And then you need to explain to your son why dad is holding his crotch for the rest of the day. The Lawnmower 3.0 has a ceramic blade and skin-safe technology that protects against nicks and tugs. It's also waterproof and has an LED light, so you can trim in the shower or while you're scuba diving at night if you just have this uncontrollable urge to tidy things up. Also, you cannot just trim down there, okay? You got to go the full bore, take care of your balls. That's why Manscaped has the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer, and the Crop Reviver, basically like a cologne for your mandibles. By the way, even though you're going to feel really good about yourself below the equator, you can improve yourself in other ways with Manscaped products. I'm talking specifically about the Shears 2.0 luxury four-piece nail kit. It has tip tweezers, rounded point scissors, fingernail clippers, and a medium grit nail file. Seriously, unlike Tags, care about the way you look regardless of whether people see it all day. Go to manscaped.com, check out their products, and if you want a 20% discount plus free shipping, use the code Yates. That's 20% off plus free shipping over at manscaped.com. Use the code Yates. All right, yep. Tags, go ahead to your next guy.
All right, my next guy is a guy we have not talked about at all, and I really wanted to just bring him up because I don't think people realize the opportunity he might have and how things might change for him in his offense this year, and that's D.D. Westbrook. We talk a lot about Gardner Minshew and you know, D.J. Chark is he's already broken out in a way, but maybe an elite performer this season, but it's kind of like that Tampa Bay, you know, where last year their defense wasn't great. The Jags defense is in terrible shape. It's just they've lost any positives they had going on the defense. They lost most of them, 90% of them. They're a team that's going to allow a lot of fantasy points. They're a lot of points, I should say, in general. So when you look at the offense and you're like, okay, they're gonna have to throw the ball quite a bit more than they did last year. D.D. Westbrook saw over 100 targets last year. If we go back to Jay Gruden when he was in Washington, he never really focused too much on one receiver. Sure, there were some seasons in there where Pierre Garçon got a lot of targets, but where did Jamison Crowder make his name? It was under Jay Gruden in the slot there. But they're talking about moving D.J. Chark into the slot and on the perimeter. So that would actually help D.D. Westbrook, in my opinion. I've been saying over the last couple of years, they've unfairly pigeonholed him into this slot role when D.D. Westbrook is a guy that stretched the field in college. I don't know why they decided, oh, he has to be a slot guy. Is because he's smaller? No, the guy's fast. He's a decent football player. I wanted nothing to do with him last year when his ADP was around wide receiver 30. But getting him in the last round of an offense that's going to throw the ball maybe 600 times, sign me up.
What do you think, Gates?
Yeah, I like him as a late round value. I've always liked the talent of D.D. Westbrook. It's just been his involvement in this offense. It's just been puzzling. So to in an offense that is going, like Tag said, it's going to be airing the ball out this year. Mm-hmm. So I want pieces of this offense. I'm not scared off by Laviska Shenault. This was a guy that I kind of liked, but I think he's coming out. But I think he's more of this guy who's a hybrid, right? You get him some running back touches. You get him some like shallow crosses and let him create. So the involvement of DJ Chark potentially moving into the slot more kind of scares me. But then that also could mean that, like Tag said, he's moving out to the outside, which can create some deep targets deep downfield and utilize the speed. We have to remember, DD Westbrook can scoot. So I think, yeah, this is just a guy that I'm fine taking a late round flyer on and see if it pans out.
All right. So my next guy, Yates, I mean, you talked about somebody going real late. You want real late. This guy is being drafted 310th overall.
Oh, here we go.
In half PPR ADP, and it's Steven Sims. Now, he was a guy who I liked kind of early. Yates, we talked about it, you know, an FSGA draft where I took him late in a 15-team PPR league. I mean, he's probably going to be playing out of the slot. We joke about the lack of pass catchers. We were doing it the other day on our message about their tight end situation. Look, he finished his last four games averaging 5 catches, 57.5 yards, and a score for the last four games of last season. I get that Dwayne Haskins isn't there, but it is barren. It is barren, assuming Haskins starts, by the way. It is barren in their pass catchers. I don't love the offense. It's not like I'm targeting that offense other than McLaurin to get a piece of it. But when you're talking about a guy who's just a complete afterthought in drafts, considering I like a skill, I think if he plays out of the slot, he's got a decent chance to provide. I mean, he's not going to be a superstar. He doesn't have the upside or anything close to it to be like a guy you're like, ooh, this is a top 24 wide receiver. But as a guy in PPR leagues and half PPR leagues who you might be able to start as a flex, as a wide receiver 3 maybe, or at least fill in on your bye weeks, there's too much opportunity there for me to just sit back. And I don't really get how, you know, essentially he's going completely undrafted outside of like 30 team leagues.
Yeah, so I went back recently and was restatting the Washington football team out, right? I was going through and redoing my projections for them, and I was shocked to find out that Steven Sims only had a 60% catch rate on 56 targets last year and averaged 9.1 yards per reception. Now, we can talk about the quarterback play all we want on that, but 9.1 for a slot receiver that can move as well as Sims does is not great. So for me to move Sims up into a fantasy relevant player, right? Because I think he can be like this guy who can soak up targets in this offense. But for him to, in a low passing volume offense and an offense that I'm not projecting to be anything like high powered, right? Like he has to be doing it on the back of 13 yards per reception, 12 yards per reception. He has to go up in that category. Granted, he had 4 touchdowns on 56 targets last year. So that can work for him. But I was just shocked to see those numbers. This is a guy that I'm fine in like super, super, super deep leagues. But outside of like your typical redraft league, I'm not looking at Steven Sims.
Tags, you agree?
Yeah, I think Greg Ward is a better version just because he's tied to a better offense. I think they're both tied into a similar role. They're both expected to be starters in the slot and 3 wide receiver sets. It's just the quarterback play. I mean, I'm staying away from Washington pretty much in general, unless you want Terry McLaurin. Outside of him, I really just don't want any part
You're
of
not
it.
Staying away from McLaurin, right? Just to be clear.
McLaurin, I'm not owning much of just because of where he's going in drafts. He's going, I would take DJ Chark, DK Metcalf over him just because I feel like their quarterback play is going to be so much better. I can't trust Terry McLaurin on a weekly basis. And I think if you go back and look at last year's numbers, you'll see, I think there was just one game all season where he saw double digit targets. Does that change this year? It's possible for sure. I think he's a fine low end wide receiver too, but there's just people willing to draft him with more equity than I am is all.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And again, you know, Greg Ward is a guy who's going late. I'm sure over the next 2 weeks, his ADP is going to rise pretty significantly given the news that's coming out of Philadelphia. All right, yeah, let's get to your last guy here.
I'm still reeling from David Montgomery.
Yep. Oh man, you're on the first non-mock draft tilt that we've had. All right, go ahead, Matt.
I'm going to bring up Josh Kelly. Josh Kelly, UCLA running back, now with the Los Angeles Chargers. You're looking at an opportunity in this offense to assume the workload, not the full workload, right? Because a lot of the carries are going to go to Tyrod Taylor that Melvin Gordon occupied last season. Austin Eckler is going to be this guy who gets a ton of work out of the backfield as a receiver. He'll see some work on the ground. But Justin Jackson, up to this point, hasn't been able to stay healthy. He's looked fine when he's, you know, gotten the touches, but he's not this guy who's going to suddenly assume this large workload. I loved Josh Kelly's film coming out. So looking at, if you load up on wide receiver early in your draft, let's just say that you take Michael Thomas with your first round, and then a really solid wide receiver falls to you in your second round, and you just need to load up on running back later on in your draft, with the last pick, Josh Kelly's a fine option because I think he's going to get 10 carries, and he has the talent to make it count. And he can, the rushing quarterback is very effective for the running back in the red zone. So for him to be able to get that opportunity with a mobile quarterback to take away attention, I just think Kelly can absolutely outperform where he's being drafted right now.
How about you, Tags? You agree? Yeah,
I worry a little bit about him in terms of like the pecking order and where it's going to go, knowing the shortened off season, because we already wondered, okay, is he going to overtake that? And being that they don't have any preseason action, I think it's going to be really difficult for rookies who aren't needed, aren't relied upon immediately to have much of an impact. And I think that he fits that role. I know they like Joshua Kelly, but Justin Jackson has done well when he's been promoted into other opportunities. So this seems like it's going to be an ugly three-headed monster with Eckler receiving most of the work. So I don't mind the pick, though. I mean, this is one of those guys, the last round pick you take, because again, as Yates talked about earlier in the show, you need guys like this on your roster that you can just cut bait with. You're going to learn exactly what he is week one. If he gets out there and he gets five carries, you cut him loose and you say all he is a handcuff, and he's not even the direct handcuff because it seems like Justin Jackson would probably have a larger role. I dig this one as a final round pick.
Yeah, I really like it, actually, because I do think that it sort of combines two really good things. One is, I think the Chargers, especially now Mike Williams dealing with the injury, I think they are just going to so lean into that running game. Now, I think they're just going to lean on their defense and lean on the running game, especially early. It's something where I think the running backs are going to get, you know, however it's divvied up, they're going to get a ton of touches. And I do think that you're going to know exactly what you guys just said. You're going to know what the pecking order is right out of the gate. It might be that Kelly is behind Eckler and in front of Jackson. So if so, you're going to know that right out of the gate. And that's a guy then that you're going to want to hold. So I think it's a really, really good type of player to take a late round flyer on. All right, Tags, go ahead. Who's your last guy?
My last one, I mean, I have to mention John Ross all the time because I am a John Ross stan, if you will. I just believe in the player. And if you look at him last year in this offense under Zach Taylor knows he's a player too. It's all about health with John Ross. And he saw, I think it was 56 or 58 targets in just 8 games last year. That's all he played. So if you think that AJ Green's going to miss time, if you're not a big believer in Tyler Boyd seeing those targets again, look at John Ross, because you talk about a guy that I'm envisioning him around 70 to 80 targets. That's a difference maker at wide receiver 3 that you could plug in during certain weeks, right? Because AJ Green is going to see top tier coverage. Tyler Boyd's obviously going to see a lot of attention there. So if he gets single coverage over the top, they don't tilt a defense John Ross's way. Joe Burrow is the type of quarterback who can get the ball to him. I mean, if you go back and watch Burrow, it was one of his best traits in college, was throwing that deep ball with phenomenal touch. It's like, there's only certain guys that I see with that touch on a deep ball. Like Russell Wilson has it, where it's just a drop in the bucket. And Joe Burrow has that. So John Ross tying him to, like, you know, to Burrow and this offense that's going to throw the ball 600 times. I'm a big fan of John Ross, and taking him with your last pick because he is going to be in the starting lineup makes a whole lot of sense.
Tags, I asked this to tease you a little bit, but it's an honest question. Is there any part of the Bengals offense that you do not want a piece of this year for your fantasy teams?
I don't want their tight ends. Joe Mixon, I'm a little hesitant just because they've never used him in that role. But if you look at the second half of last year, they clearly went to him. There's a lot of opportunity in this offense, and that's the reason I like it. Even though Dalton missed 3 full games last year, he still should have finished as a top 12 fantasy quarterback based on the opportunity he had throwing the ball. So there is just so much value to be had in this offense. And I just don't think people realize how inefficient they were with Andy Dalton last year. It was just so inefficient. And I think Zach Taylor had a bad go at it. So when you bring all these weapons on the field, it's just, think about being a defensive coordinator and saying, if we do not get pressure, this team will eat us alive because they have players that could beat you at every level of the field.
How about you, Yates? Do you like Ross as a last round flyer?
Yeah, I mean, pieces of this offense, if AJ Green can't stay healthy, I think that's the issue. If Green is on the field, I don't see the true upside there for Ross, where you're going to be comfortable putting him in your starting lineup at any point of the season. However, if AJ Green continues to struggle with these injuries, that, you know, minor hamstring injury last week, he's just at the point of his career where this is a concern. This is something that you have to be worried about when drafting AJ Green. So if you can get John Ross late with a quarterback like Joe Burrow now, yeah, I'm all for that.
Yeah, I certainly have no problem with it. There's no downside, but there is the upside when you're taking it that late. And look, I was teasing you, but I agree. I think you do want as many pieces as you can of this Bengals offense this year, because I do have a lot of faith in Burrow, and I do think it's going to be pretty dynamic. For my last guy, Yates, might have been Jake Seeley. I don't remember who we talked about Boston Scott with, but it is Boston Scott.
Yeah, that was Seeley. Yep.
Yeah, 178th in half PPR ADP. Look, everyone's super excited about Miles Sanders, right? Because the Eagles didn't bring in anybody else to sort of share touches with him. But that hasn't manifested itself in the way fantasy managers are viewing Scott. And I kind of think it should. You know, look, the last four games, obviously they were dealing with tons of injuries, but 87.5 yards from scrimmage per game. And that last game when Sanders got injured, 23 touches for him. So look, he's only got 61 career carries. He's small. He's 5'6". But again, I mean, Corey Clement is the other guy in the backfield. Alshon Jeffrey, already injured. You saw Darren Sproles carve out a role for himself for years in Philadelphia. I could easily see him getting 10 touches per game with a healthy Sanders. Sanders already battling whatever this vague, you know, lower body injury is supposed to be fine. But he's a guy who, you know, barely drafted. I think he's a guy who you can roll out there, especially in PPR leagues. But in half PPR leagues, you might be able to get away with as, you know, a borderline flex option or something like that. And if something happens to Sanders, unless they add somebody else, he's going to get a lot of work. So for me, he's a guy I'm targeting with one of my last picks.
Yep. Goes against Washington in week one, too. There should be plenty of touches to go around in that game.
Yeah. It sounds like, again, Yates, you agree, by the way, I think, because I think we talked about this and I think you were on board, right?
I wasn't listening. I was still tilting
over David. He legitimately cannot. Yates, I want to make it clear. You have a job to do right now, and your job is to be on this podcast, okay? We can talk about how David Montgomery has ruined everything, but, you know, we're talking about...
Hey, I'm throwing out Le'Veon Bell to Chicago rumors on Twitter right now. That's right. What I'm doing.
I mean, Yates, I admire your ability to multitask, but actually, I don't, because you're not even multitasking.
You don't, because I wasn't.
You have actually gone to the wrong task during a football podcast. I'll give you 20 seconds to not think about David Montgomery. And
Boston
I will
Scott.
Ask
Boston
you,
Scott as a late round flyer. I'm fine with it. Jake's ranking of him up in the 30s is very aggressive, and I can't get there personally because I think Sanders is going to be this guy. But if Sanders is news is coming out that he's not ready to go week one, and you push your draft back, you know, late, right as far back as you can, and Scott is sitting there in the last round, I'm fine with taking him.
Hey, Yates, real quick, and I'm just going to put Yates in a little bit better mood, maybe. This is up to minute, like we're giving you up to minute news here. David Montgomery, Tom Pelissero of NFL is reporting that there's optimism he avoided a serious injury, that it could be a groin strain. So we don't know.
Guy, these podcasts, right? So this is new to you because I don't think you guys have podcasted before. You need to produce podcasts, right? So you need to put them and then you can get them out. So by the time everyone is listening to
this, it's not breaking news anymore.
They know what's going on. No, we have to address it. Obviously, I'm glad we addressed it. But it's like we're breaking down like, hey, guys, massive development. Tom, like by the time people listen
Adam
to this.
Adam Schefter tweeted out, unsigned free agents running backs include Devontae Freeman and Marshawn Lynch and Robert Turman. We're screwed.
All right. Just do me a favor. After you listen to this podcast, please just immediately tweet nonstop at Yates and tag. List everybody. I'm available to play running back if need be. We can get something going. But okay, that's going to do it for the portion of our show where Tags and I talk about late round flyers and Yates tilts over the David Montgomery news. We will now go to the second part of our podcast where we do a 3-man best ball draft on FanDuel, and Yates continues to tilt about the David Montgomery news. Tags, you want to explain a little bit about, you know, because I haven't even signed up for this yet, so I'm getting ready to go. But
way to go, Dan. Way to go.
The second I sign up, we start drafting.
I don't think they need to hear necessary details. All I think that the listeners wanted to hear is that you were not prepared and you were not ready. You were not in the draft. Yates and I are here. We're ready for it. We're doing it.
I'm very upset by the David Montgomery news. Did you guys hear that, Yates? Do you know that? David Montgomery apparently injured today. I just wanted you to know that. If you guys are just watching this right now on YouTube, youtube.com/fantasypros, you know that.
I'm about to start singing
Yates,
Killing Me Softly.
Yates is just curled up in a little fetal position right now at the recent news that David Montgomery happened to be injured. But anyway, Tags, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry to even laugh about that, but it was just funny considering where Yates has been tilting basically over the last half hour or so. But we are going to be doing a quick 3-man best ball league where this is if you guys are unaware what best ball is, it's basically where you go through and you draft a team. Typically, you might have like 20 rounds. You could do 3-man, you could do 6-man, you could do 12-man. But what happens is every single week, it's going to take the best players that you have on your roster and automatically insert them into your lineup. So you're getting the best part of draft. Like, drafting is one of the funnest parts of fantasy football. Let's be real about it. You look at your team and you're just psyched about it. you don't have to deal with all the headaches you do every single week. You don't have to pay attention to who's inactive, who's active. You don't have to do trades, no waiver wire additions. It's just going to take who you draft and put it in the lineup. I mean, fortunately for us, there's going to be studs stacked up throughout our teams because it's a three-man best ball league. So, I mean, I might just get, you know, Julio Jones in like the fourth round or something like that, which would be pretty cool.
Yeah. Sure. Obviously, best ball is something which, especially right now, man, I don't know about you. I don't know how many leagues you guys are in, but, you know, especially with it overlapping
too
with
many.
Baseball. I mean, there are times where I'm like, man, I got to set my, you know, my waiver claims or my fab bids or stuff like that. And just having a best ball team where you're just going to automatically take your best players without you needing to worry about it is really great. I'm wondering, you guys, I don't want you to give anything too much away right now as we get into this, but out of curiosity, generally, especially tags, like what's your general overall best ball strategy? And does it change much when you go to something small like this, like a three-person league?
Yeah, it definitely does, because positional scarcity doesn't exist, right? Where it's like if you're in a 12-team league and the advantage that Kelce and Kittle give you in those leagues is tremendous because guys are going to be starting guys way down there. But in this league, obviously, if we each draft three tight ends, that's only 9 tight ends drafted. You could, if you pass on tight end early, you're able to stack the position later and get rid of some of that volatility because someone is going to produce. You just might need to put more on your roster. I don't have a set in stone strategy as I go through best ball because I think it all depends on where you're at with your position. Like if I have 2 quarterbacks that are extremely stable in a best ball format, I don't feel the need to draft a third one because they're typically always on the field. Whereas if you draft someone like, you know, a mobile quarterback that's, you know, or someone like Ben Roethlisberger who routinely misses multiple games a year, you're going to need that third quarterback just to make up if there's a season-ending injury and you don't want your league just, you know, totally screwed because you did that. So it's so weird. It's almost like the way I am in season-long leagues, though, Dan, is that I just take value when it's presented to me. I read my roster. I read the rest of the room. It's a little tougher to do in a 3-man. I'm not going to lie. It's going to be a weird time to do that. But I know a lot of people in the industry do love doing these 3-man best ball leagues. I've never done them personally myself. So I'm kind of looking forward to see what my team is going to look like.
Yeah, ditto. I bet you I'm going to be like, man, my team is amazing. I'm going to rock the house with this. Because it's three-man. Yeah, generally in best ball, obviously, some things you need to keep in mind are bye weeks. Obviously, that's a huge deal. You have to make sure, of course, that you're not missing out on any of that. And again, upside. You know, I've talked so much this season about guys like Jameson Crowder, right, who I think are undervalued this year. I think stability, everything like that in your season-long leagues are the type of guys you want. Those aren't best ball picks, certainly not in a three-person league. But even in bigger leagues, that's not the type of guy that you target in a best ball league. You really want upside. You're okay if they're going to give you, you know, you look at tags boom bust and everything in between chart. Like the guys who boom, like those are the guys really more who you like to look at necessarily in best ball. Now with three-person league, we're all going to have a bunch of guys like that. Are you guys ready to go? Because I'm just waiting.
Let's do it.
To click. Ready. You ready, tags?
I am ready.
All right. I'm coming in right now. Hopefully signed in. I hope I don't screw anything up here.
Dan, do not screw this up. All you have to do is click
OK. I'll try.
Join.
Okay.
I made it $0, so you had no excuse not to join.
Okay, here we go. Enter contest. I'm going to click it. I don't know what pick we're going to be.
There we go.
Sweet. All right. It looks like tags, you're first.
I'm pretty stoked about that. I'm not going to lie. And this is kind of karma for Yates, by the way. Did you hear what Yates did to me yesterday, Dan?
No.
We had a private DM session between me, him, and Joe Pisapia, and I called them too high maintenance because they were talking about times they were available. And so I got in there, and they decided to not do it randomly, but just say, hey, Tags, you're the last pick in this draft because you called us high maintenance. So they teamed up on me. It was not cool, and this is karma, Yates.
All right. I love it.
Adam Schefter tweeted, beaten head coach Matt Nagy said running back David Montgomery suffered a groin strain and he is undergoing further testing. Team is optimistic. I think he meant Bears head coach, not beaten.
It might be both. You never know. I'd also like to welcome everybody into our Bears only podcast right now, where we are just going to talk what we're just going to do is read to you every tweet that comes out about David Montgomery, even though you're listening to this 6 hours later and you know that that's like, so don't
this
worry.
This is my therapy session. Let me therapize.
I can't wait for him to
therapize. I don't know. Whatever.
For him to just draft David Montgomery with like a second pick. And there we go. All right. So, Tags, you made your first pick.
I did. I'm obviously picking Christian McCaffrey because, well, if you try and make an argument against Christian McCaffrey, you're going to be wrong. So I'm just not even going to let you try.
That's all fair. Yates, you've got the second pick. Please don't pick Dave Montgomery or tell me about that. Okay.
No, I am taking Saquon Barkley. I think the gap between obviously CMC last year and any other running back was just ridiculous. I don't think the gap between CMC and Saquon Barkley this year is going to be drastic. I think Barkley's going to be right up there.
Yep. All right. And I am taking Alvin Kamara and Ezekiel Elliott. Again, this is not something where I, you know, both guys have massive upside and a high floor anyway. But it's not something where I'm really looking at a wide receiver yet. They're just so, I mean, there are so many wide receivers essentially available, especially when we're going to be drafting, what, maybe 24 overall?
Yeah.
All right. I'm back up at, I'm going to go another running back here. I'm going to go with Derrick Henry. And I think for Derrick Henry, the boom potential, right, I think is just astronomical. So I'm going to take him here to pair with Saquon Barkley.
I'm actually just going to get two wide receivers here, guys. I'm going to go with Michael Thomas and I'm going to go with Davante Adams, because as I've talked about in the boom bust and everything in between, is that wide receivers are, once you get outside those top three wide receivers, it's kind of like a free for all. Everybody is just like, you know, these, if you get a wide receiver one plus rate 33% of the time, that's considered good. So why would I not take advantage of this in a league where we're looking for elite players to fill these spots? I mean, Michael Thomas and Davante Adams, I just took 2/3 of the best wide receivers in the NFL.
Okay, Yates, you just took Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it. Like, if I want someone who can potentially finish as the RB1, Clyde Edwards-Helaire in this offense absolutely can with his involvement in the receiving game. So to get him here in the third round, obviously it's crazy with it being a three-man team, but I'm loading up on running back here, guys.
Well, I also took another running back, and that was Dalvin Cook. Again, this is a guy who very easily, you know, there aren't many guys who have the potential to just be the number one running back overall on the season and weekly, and that's a guy like Cook, if he stays healthy and if he plays the full season. Now, Tags, I'm drafting this guy here who I know you're not going to like, but it's Travis Kelce. I also usually wait on tight end in a best ball format, but in something small like this, I think a guy like Kelce and maybe Kittle are the types of guys who can kind of do some damage, because they're so guaranteed to give you strong performance. We like a lot of guys who are late, you know, at tight end and stuff like that. For me, in a smaller league like this, a tight end is where you can actually gain a little bit of an edge. So I'm willing to take one a little bit early. And you just took George Kittle. So you're obviously on board with that.
I did. I as soon as you took him, I was like, all right, let's hope that Yates leaves me. Yates took Tyreek Hill. I think that's a fantastic pick.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Right there, especially in a best ball format. This is where I'm going to go with Joe Mixon. Obviously, he's fallen further than I think most people would think. We're in the fifth round of this three-team draft. So, I mean, what are we talking about now? 13th pick overall. So getting Joe Mixon outside the first round, essentially, I feel pretty good about that.
Okay, Yates, you took the guy who I was eyeing right there, and that was Julio Jones.
Again, for Julio to fall into the fifth round or whatever we're in now. I'm just going to load up on wide receivers now. I've got Saquon, Derrick Henry, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Tyreek Hill, Julio Jones. I feel like that's a pretty good start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is fine. I generally will wait on quarterback, but again, in a three-person league, I think if you can grab one of the top two, so I'm going to grab Lamar Jackson here, again, a guy who I think is just going to offer just, you know, massive upside week in, week out. And I'm going to, again, this is a guy who we've talked about. It's not a guy who I am fully in love with, but given his talent, given the amount of targets that he got, obviously, all the time in Houston and everything like that, I'm going to take DeAndre Hopkins here, because I think, you know, I'm a little worried about him, season long, but I think he's going to have some boom weeks. So it's my first wide receiver, I believe, that I took. Back to you.
Yeah, I'm down on DeAndre Hopkins from a season-long perspective relative to his ADP, right? That has to come with that qualification.
Yeah, he's borderline first round in ADP, yeah.
Correct,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, love the talent. So to get him here, he's going to have some boom performances. I'm going to go with Miles Sanders, guys.
That was going to be my next pick. I had him queued up there. It was him and Kenyon Drake that were close together, so I definitely agree with the Miles Sanders pick. All right, now this is where it gets a little bit interesting for me. Instead of reaching, Dan and I think are employing some similar strategies, because we're taking the best players that we can at positions. And I have the best quarterback in the NFL in fantasy, Patrick Mahomes. I have the best running back in Christian McCaffrey, the best wide receiver, actually the top two wide receivers in Michael Thomas and Davante Adams, and arguably the best tight end in George Kittle.
Second best.
I said arguably, buddy.
Second.
Yates, could you break up this tie?
It's Kittle first.
Hey!
I'm going to go. You guys are taking those quarterbacks. I don't want to miss out on that run that's going to start here. So I'm going to grab mine. I'm going to grab Dak Prescott.
Okay. All right. I like it. So I am sitting here and I am, looking at Lamar Jackson, Ezekiel Elliott, Alvin Kamara, Dalvin Cook, DeAndre Hopkins, and Travis Kelce. What a team. I'm going to go with, this is why you're going to love your team no matter what you do in best ball. I'm going to take Josh Jacobs here. And he's a guy who, again, I'm excited about. I don't care about the pass catchers that they're bringing in everywhere and everything like that. And another guy who I'm going to take is a guy who is not consistent. And, you know, again, you know, you could argue this is the wrong wide receiver to take, but in a best ball league, I do think that Mike Evans is going to be the guy who's going to kind of have the bigger weeks, the week winning weeks, so to say. So I'm going to take Evans here over Chris Godwin, who's there. And I think that's arguable. But from a best ball perspective, that's where I am. So back to you, Yates.
Wow.
Yeah. Looking at my wide receiver with Tyreek Hill and Julio Jones, with Tyreek Hill being a little bit more boom bust, I do want some stability. So I am going to take Chris Godwin here and be my third wide receiver.
Yep.
Yeah, taking Evans over Godwin, that's bold, my friend.
Yeah, no, look, obviously I have Godwin ahead of Evans from a season-long perspective, but I do think that, you know, as good as Godwin is going to be, especially in, you know, half PPR formats, full PPR, I do think that Evans is going to have the bigger weeks when they come. They're going to be less consistent, but I think in a three-person league like this, like, I'm going to have enough depth at wide receiver to cover it, so... Tags, you took Nick Chubb
with
your first pick, which is an excellent pick, I think.
I did, and now I'm a little bit torn on my next pick, but I am going to go ahead and just keep going with this running back, just nail these running backs real quick and just get them out of the way. I'm going to take Austin Eckler to present some stability. This is a half PPR format for those who are wondering, but my roster, I mean, Christian McCaffrey, Joe Mixon, Kenyon Drake, Nick Chubb, and Austin Eckler, I feel like there's plenty of upside there to pair with, you know, my top tier quarterback, wide receivers, and tight end. So I think at the point in a three-man draft, I guess we could talk about this as we work through it, guys, is where do you feel like you just kind of stop with running backs? Because you don't even need to go with the zero running back approach, obviously, because, you know, it's a three-man league and you're not going to be drafting the backups at all.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at it right now. I mean, I've got Zeke, Kamara, Dalvin Cook, and Josh Jacobs, and I'm like, and then Yates just took Aaron Jones. So that was somebody who I was like, ooh, maybe I want, but I'm looking at everybody else. And it's hard for me to really see somebody who could go crazy, except, by the way, for this guy who, again, this is just something where I'm like, man, if things break out, and he does what he needs to do, and because I'm drafting with you two dudes, I'm going to take Jonathan Taylor here. So it's obviously earlier than sort of where I would necessarily think about him. But for me, a guy like Jonathan Taylor, man, if he wins, if he gets that job and he becomes the primary carrier, I mean, he's going to be a guy who can easily be a weekly top five guy, potentially necessarily so. That's a guy where I'm going with there. For my second pick, I need a wide receiver. I'm going to take Kenny Golladay. Again, if the Lions employ sort of a similar, you know, offensive scheme like they did in, you know, when Matt Stafford was healthy last year, Golladay could be a monster. Not a guy I'm really targeting in season long leagues, but that's where I'm there for now. Yates, you just took Allen Robinson. Okay. So obviously, you know, you're thinking Bears because did you know Dave Montgomery got hurt?
Yes, he did. Yeah, thank you. Okay. Allen Robinson, I went with Aaron Jones the last round because I was looking at Amari Cooper, though, and looking at my bye week situation, though, Tags mentioned it, I have a lot of players on bye week 10, and so I really didn't want to load up on those, at least in those key critical positions, whereas Tags just took Amari Cooper, and I think that's an excellent pick in best ball formats.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And your other pick, Tags, is Odell Beckham Jr., who you know I'm not a huge fan of this year, but in a best ball format, yeah. That's a guy for sure.
That's my wide receiver three.
Yeah. Well, you're just fantastic, aren't you? Okay, yeah.
Okay. Thank you for noticing.
Yeah, we're halfway through this, Yates. You've got 10 of you. Now you're 11. So you picked, again, my guy who I was going to take there is A.J. Brown. Another really, really good pick in this draft.
Yeah, big blow-up performances.
At this point, by the way, I mean, look, your roster is going to be stacked wherever it is. So, you know, half of my picks right now are guys who I just kind of want to make you guys a little mad at. So I am taking Calvin Ridley here. Obviously has the giant boom potential. I'm going to take another guy who, again, it's something where how do I think he's going to do on a season-long thing? I'm optimistic on it, and I feel really good about him. But if everything does work out in the way I think it's going to go, then he could be sort of, you know, have huge weeks if the Steelers go back to sort of their high passing ways, and that's Juju Smith-Schuster. So those are my two picks there were Calvin Ridley and Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah, for sure. And Yates just took Mark Andrews. That was a good pick. I actually was contemplating them there just because, again, getting those tight ends out of the way, not allowing someone else to get them. Zach Ertz is one of those guys for me where it's just there's so many targets available for him. As much as I like Jalen Reagor, I can't pretend that he's not a rookie in a weird offseason. So snagging Zach Ertz here as my second tight end to pair with Kittle, it's almost like I could be done at the position if I really wanted to be. And then looking for a little bit of upside with this pick, I'm going to go with a target hog here in DJ Moore. DJ Moore, obviously, with a terrible, terrible situation last year in terms of quarterback play and what he was working with. Obviously, going to Teddy Bridgewater, we don't know how the chemistry is going to work between those two. But I do want to say that, you know, with Joe Brady coming in as the OC, I do think it's going to be a well-balanced attack. Obviously, they're going to use Christian McCaffrey in different ways, but DJ Moore is a guy that you feature. He's going to play that possession style role. You have Robbie Anderson to stretch the field. You have Curtis Samuel in that hybrid role. But are you guys like in on DJ Moore? And if somebody wanted to wait at wide receiver, would you be okay with him as like a wide receiver? Is your wide receiver one if you took, you know, two running backs, maybe even three running backs in the first three rounds?
Yeah, I'm not going to call myself quote unquote in on DJ Moore this year because I think the industry is in, like, we talked to Jamie Eisenberg, had him seventh, for example, in his rankings. That is not somebody who, that's not where I am. I have him as a strong wide receiver too. But again, people always ask, am I okay with this guy as my wide receiver one? If the rest of your roster is stacked, absolutely, DJ Moore can be your wide receiver one. For me, I just took two guys. Again, these are guys who I'm really happy to get in best ball format. It's James Conner. Again, a guy who absolutely has not only, if he's healthy, a pretty high floor, but really a super high ceiling if everything breaks right. And Adam Thielen. Again, a guy who's just kind of forgotten about. Like, you know, he obviously, you know, 2 years ago, he had the 8 straight games of 100 yards, you know, receiving. So he's, you know, best ball season long. I'm all about Adam Thielen.
Yep. I thought about him. Him and DJ Moore were right there together. And I thought Thielen had a better chance of making it back to me.
Yeah. Okay. So you took DK Metcalf. Back to you, Tags. We are on Tags. You have filled 13 of your 20 spots right here. So
all right.
Who are you going here?
I am going 14? To take the upside in Kyler Murray. I already have Patrick Mahomes, obviously, but getting Kyler Murray, a guy that we know can finish as the QB1 with the rushing upside that he offers, and adding DeAndre Hopkins to that offense. I like Kyler Murray more in a best ball than I do in a redraft league. So I feel cool about that. And then now I'm trying to figure out, Do I actually pull? I am going to do it. I'm going to say the Todd Gurley. I think that's who I want to draft here.
I don't think you're up.
You're not on the clock yet.
Yeah, man. Where are you drafting?
I did not draft Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, you did. Sorry, man. You got to be up on it. Oh, no. He drafted Cooper Kupp. I do like, you know, I really
Dan's
wish
gonna take Todd Gurley,
I could tell you that Todd Gurley will be a great pick in your next pick. But I can't tell you that because I just drafted him, because that's what we're going to do.
You're the worst.
Unlike you, I'm paying attention. By the way, I drafted Josh Allen, the guy who I want. I was thinking about Russell Wilson, who Yates took right before me. I have Lamar Jackson. And again, the guy I really wanted was Deshaun Watson, same bye week as Lamar Jackson. So that is something where I probably could have just taken Deshaun Watson, gotten another QB necessarily for that. But Josh Allen's a guy who, by the way, in best ball, I like guys who offer you also like a solid floor with the rushing, because I think that, you know, their fantasy point production is going to be there regardless. And so you're not going to have any week where you're like, oh man, I just got a dud from the position. You take Waller here, Yates.
Yeah, I took him because looking at Mark Andrews, I needed someone with a different bye week. Waller is kind of that next guy up. Hayden Hurst would have been someone that I would have considered as well.
Yes, that would have been good. I'm still, Tags, you have two tight ends, right?
I have two tight ends, yes. I actually have Ertz and Kittle.
So yeah, so I'm still sitting here with Kelce. And again, in a three-man league, I'm willing to kind of roll with that. Again, there are a lot of upside tight ends that we like. You obviously mentioned one of them, Yates. So Tags, you take DJ Chark here. Love that pick. Absolutely love it. I think that's a fantastic pick. You know, especially, I mean, it's our teams are going to look fantastic. But, you know, when you think about him, I love Chark. We talked about the offense. And you took Leonard Fournette. That actually surprised me a little bit because, you know, I'm surprised that you want to go that route. Unless you're thinking he obviously gets traded.
Yeah, that's what I think the possibility is. There's obviously going to be some room for some touchdown regression to the mean here with him. So even if he does lose some of that receiving down work, touchdowns, he's a guy that can score 2 touchdowns in a week. And I don't think anybody would be shocked. So where I got him as my... hold on, RB6.
Crazy.
It feels odd. It's almost like having him as your RB2 in a regular 12-man league, which is fine.
Yeah, so I'm beefing up on wide receiver here. And again, this is why I was kind of like running back, tight end, maybe QB early. I added Terry McLaurin and Devontae Parker. I mean, these are guys with, you know, are going to have big weeks that are just going to kind of come in. They're good best ball players, especially in a league like this. So we're almost done. I've got 18. I've got 2 picks left. Tags, you've got 3. And Yates, you did take Deshaun Watson, by the way. So do you have 3 QBs now at this point?
I do. Okay. I want to just kind of solidify that. So I've got Dak, Russell Wilson, and Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. So bye weeks, you actually have to pay attention to in best ball. It's the only time that I actually care about bye weeks. Let's see. I just feel like I'm so stacked to these positions. I'm going to go ahead and take Matt Ryan. I know I'm taking a third quarterback when I really don't need to in this format, especially with Patrick Mahomes and Kyler Murray. But again, these are going to be some crazy high scoring teams.
Yeah. This is a tough one, right? Because you're sort of like, I'm looking there and, you know, I need to back up tight end. And the guy I really love, as you guys know, is Hayden Hurst, and he has the same bye week as Kelce. So that is something. And again, this is really more like just a bye week sort of play for me. This is not a guy who I'm like, oh man, I need to figure out exactly what's going to be there, because that's what it is. And you do take Hayden Hurst, Yates.
Yeah,
you
I panicked.
Son of a. That's fine. It doesn't matter.
I panicked. I just took the guy. That's karma. Again, that's karma coming back to you, Dan.
Yeah, no, it's fair. And I don't really care. But just look, really this care. Is all for, this is all, no, I don't. This is all for fun anyway. And Kelce, I'm sure, is going to be my starting guy for almost every week. So I'm just going to do Yates a little solid here and draft a little Jonnu Smith, which is really just a little, hi, Yates. How you doing, bud? I want you to know I'm watching you and I see you.
That's fantastic. That's
so crazy. Now I'm looking for my last guy in best ball leagues. And again, there's a guy, and you want to talk about somebody who's got the potential.
If you take my freaking guy.
I hope I do, but I may not. It's Will Fuller.
Oh,
it's a guy.
No, that's
who,
not it. Okay, I'm good.
All right. Yeah, that's a best ball guy, right? That's a guy who, if he's healthy and if he doesn't leave the game early, he's got massive potential. So my draft is done. You guys are up to your last couple picks, and then we will go through our rosters.
Yeah,
I'm getting Kareem Hunt here, guys.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with a Will Fuller-esque pick, and I'm going to take Marquise Brown with my final pick.
Yes, he was a guy actually I looked at a round or two ago. So I think what we can say is that our teams are absolutely incredible. I mean,
can I transport this into a redraft team?
Yes, right. Hey, guys, check out this best ball team I just drafted. So why don't we each very quickly run through our team's tags? Go ahead.
This how eight-man leagues feels? I mean,
yeah, I don't know, man. It's something like
by
that.
The way, I understand that some guys are dealing with some issues in their leagues right now. And if you're going down to like an eight-man league or something like that, or 10-man because some people can't play this year, don't want to, whatever the case may be, add more starting positions to your fantasy lineups. That's going to help increase that skill gap, because every team is going to be stacked. So reward depth on a team. My lineup here is Patrick Mahomes, Kyler Murray, and Matt Ryan at quarterback. My running backs, Christian McCaffrey, Joe Mixon, Kenyon Drake, Nick Chubb, Austin Eckler, and Leonard Fournette. My wide receivers, Michael Thomas, Davante Adams, Odell Beckham, Amari Cooper, DJ Moore, Cooper Kupp. I didn't make that pick. DJ Chark, Tyler Lockett, Marquise Brown, George Kittle, and Zach Ertz are my tight ends. I mean, jeez. Yeah.
That is a decent team. How about you, Yates? What do you got? Make it better.
I came out really balanced, guys. I got 3 quarterbacks, 7 wide receivers, 7 running backs, and 3 tight ends. Mm-hmm. I got Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Miles Sanders, Aaron Jones, Melvin Gordon, and Kareem Hunt. Tyreek Hill, Julio Jones, Chris Godwin, Allen Robinson, AJ Brown, Robert Woods, DK Metcalf, goodness, and then Mark Andrews, Darren Waller, and Hayden Hurst at tight end.
Your team sucks, Yates. Sorry, I'm just kidding. Sorry. No, that's a great team, of course. And, my team is at QB. I've got Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. My running backs are Ezekiel Elliott, Alvin Kamara, Dalvin Cook, Josh Jacobs, Jonathan Taylor, James Conner, and Todd Gurley. My wide receivers are DeAndre Hopkins, Mike Evans, Kenny Galladay, Calvin Ridley, Juju Smith-Schuster, Adam Thielen, Terry McLaurin, Devontae Parker, and Will Fuller. And my tight ends are Travis Kelce and Jonnu Smith. So what do you guys think? I mean, this was our first 3-person draft. It's fun. And you love your team when you get out of it, right?
It's so much fun.
Yeah, it was a ton of fun. Super quick, too.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It was quick, especially when Tags isn't paying attention and drafts Cooper Kupp and then goes crazy. So, all right. Before we go, I just want to mention this. I just saw a tweet that Dave Montgomery got injured today at practice. Yates, I don't know if you knew that.
You suck.
So I just go look
at that. End this.
All right. We will end this. But again, guys, go check out FanDuel. Do some best ball drafts. They're a lot of fun. Like, you know, do it with your buddies. Do whatever you want to do. It's really, really great to get out there and you know, 3-person, 12-person, whatever you want to do. Again, best ball is an entirely different game. And it you know, this season, it's going to be tough. You're going to have to really actively manage your teams with best ball leagues, especially FanDuel. You don't need to worry about that. You can just set it, draft it, the best part of fantasy, and then forget it. Thanks again to Manscaped. Guys, it is a jungle down there. You need to clean it up now. Go to manscaped.com. Use our code Yates for 20% off your order and free shipping. Check out their Lawnmower 3.0 and their Shears 2.0. Again, manscaped.com with the code Yates for 20% off your order and free shipping. And do not forget to head over to fantasypros.com/draftwizard. Do a draft. Do 50 drafts. Do 100 drafts. It is quick and easy, and you can try out different strategies and get grades from each of us. Again, that's fantasypros.com/draftwizard. It's totally free to use, but there are some added cool features for our MVP and Hall of Fame subscribers, including access to realistic auction and dynasty mock drafts. We've got a special offer going on right now for 6 months free for our Hall of Fame package. That is our highest subscription tier and a $65 value. Just go check out fantasypros.com/offers for more details. Thank you for listening, everyone. We're going to be back tomorrow with another episode. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan, we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.